For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We expect it to be fun. Vacation Bible School kind of says fun. I've seen a lot of Vacation Bible School curricula that emphasize the word fun. When did that happen? Was Vacation Bible School always what it is today, and has it to some degree been commercialized and the emphasis taken off the learning, the school part, and on the fun part? Joining us to rethink Vacation Bible School, Pastor Jason Broughton. He's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Tuscola, Illinois. He's author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Particular Needs to a Particular Place, Rethinking Vacation Bible School. Jason, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Todd. It's good to be here.
When did Christian congregations begin Vacation Bible School programs?
Well, they started in the late 1800s, 1870s and forward, mostly on the East Coast, like Lake Chautauqua in New York, but eventually making its way, as we move closer to the 20th century, into the Midwest, like Illinois and Wisconsin.
Give us a little history of Vacation Bible School.
Well, essentially, it begins because of public school, particularly in the East Coast. When schools let out, you had all these youth who were kind of running around, and pastors and church leaders of the day thought, perhaps we can, since they are not in school, use this time to impart the faith to them so that they wouldn't continue to perhaps get in trouble or do things that they ought not to do. So they created really kind of a summer school that was focused on biblical teaching, but also on other types of teaching as well. So it was not limited to the Bible. They would study U.S. history. They would engage in sports and calisthenics and a whole host of things. And it would run pretty much the entire summer, 6 to 8 weeks long, all day long. And then as it moves out of the city and towards the country, some of that begins to change because the needs of the people in those locations are different. So for example, children are expected in the springtime to help their families plant the seed. In the fall, they're expected to help with the harvest. Daughters are expected to help on the farms as well. So school in the rural areas would often let out just before seed time, and it wouldn't start again until after harvest. So when they had summer school or when they had vacation Bible schools in the rural areas, the day itself tended to be shorter. Instead of an entire day of 8 hours or 6 hours, it might only be just the morning or just the afternoon when it was too hot to do work in the fields. And it wouldn't be all summer long. Typically, it would last at most 3 weeks, usually 1 or 2 weeks.
What was the emphasis of early Vacation Bible School programs?
Well, primarily they were looking at the individuals in their communities, and they saw a need that needed to be met for those individuals. And so what I mean by that is they would see these children and note that they needed to be not only busy with their hands, but busy with their minds. So they would structure their curricula based on the needs of the people who were right in front of them. And so they would teach them, obviously, the Bible stories from a Bible history or something like that. But they would also incorporate memorization. They would incorporate methods of prayer, so to speak. They would teach them how to pray individually or extemporaneously from the hip. They would teach them church history and where their particular denominations fell within church history, and then where that would fit in with the rest of world history. They would teach them how to be crafty with their hands. And that doesn't mean like how we think of crafting today, but real craftsmanship, woodworking, needlework, creating artistic things with glass and all kinds of media. It was not just limited to like cutting out pieces of paper or the wooden sticks from popsicles that have been saved from the last summer. They did real teaching of real craftsmanship because these are the things that people needed to know how to do. They needed to know how to do these things. The girls needed to know how to quilt and use needles. The boys needed to know how to work with their hands. And so they focused their teaching on what the needs of the kids were in that particular place.
You say that Vacation Bible School has been commercialized. What do you mean by that?
I think it has in two ways. In one way, it's been commercialized because what we've focused on is not what we can give the kids and pass on to the kids, but we focused on what their experience will be like, how much fun they will have, or how much they enjoyed it. And because of that, we are catering to whatever the popular need of the day is, what the felt need of the day is, instead of looking at what, as adults, we see the needs of children are. So in that sense, it's been commercialized because we are focusing on the consumer instead of the product that we want to actually give to them, what we want to produce. The second way is a whole host of publishing houses, and I mean, including our own Missouri Synod Publishing House, creates out-of-the-box Vacation Bible School curricula. And on the one hand, there's nothing inherently wrong with this, but by its very nature and its very design, it is trying to kind of take a shotgun approach or a industrialized approach to handing on and teaching the faith. And so it has very generic themes for generic people that can fit really any situation, whether you are in Canada or England or anywhere around the world, you could use this program and it would make sense. And because of that, I think it has had two effects within our churches. It has made the involvement of the people in that congregation, the adults in that congregation, whether it's the parents or even the pastor or other church workers who may be employed at that particular congregation, a bit uninvolved or not as involved in what is being handed on to those kids. And thus, the enthusiasm of both the kids, because of the lack of enthusiasm of the instructors, is suffering.
So what are the advantages of an all-inclusive Vacation Bible School program, and what are its disadvantages? You've mentioned a few already.
Yeah. I mean, the advantages is that it's all done. You might have to tweak this or that, but I mean, they give you everything. You know, they give you the signs, they give you the skits, they give you the music, they give you the theme, they give you what crafts to do, and they have a nice handy list of all the materials that you will need to do those crafts. They give you flyers to hand out to your community, inviting people to VBS, and signs to post so that people know that your Vacation Bible School is running on these dates and what the themes are. I mean, it is all inclusive, and that can be very helpful for places that are in need of someone to help them produce all that material. It makes it kind of a one-stop shop to be able to say, all right, I've done the planning, it's done because I got this particular program. And as beneficial as that may be to kind of take that kind of upfront work off the plate of, say, a pastor or a DCE or even volunteers, while it might immediately seem helpful, I'm not sure that this is what is actually best for that particular congregation, for the people, namely the children there, or even for the volunteers and for the pastor there. I think that lack of involvement and that lack of planning is an indication of how the entire Vacation Bible School will be kind of implemented.
So what have we lost with the all-inclusive approach to Vacation Bible School?
I think primarily the biggest loss is that we are thinking of Vacation Bible School as something that must be done, and we don't want to really do it, and so we're going to use this thing, and we're missing out on the opportunity given to us to teach to specific needs in your specific location. So the pastor and the parents have the ability of kind of surveying the landscape of what's happening in their town or their community, what's going on in their schools, what are the idols that need to be kind of smashed, and what are the things that these particular people need to be encouraged in and toward. And I think when we look to an all-inclusive, out-of-the-box VBS, we miss that opportunity of actually applying the reason that God has given us to the specific people right in front of our eyes, so that we can then say, this is what my community needs to hear from the Holy Scriptures. Kind of like what a pastor would do when he's preparing a sermon. What he might preach at one location, while thematically could be similar, the specifics might come out really quite different in another place. So it's really affording him to be a pastor and apply pastoral care to specific people right in front of him, and not let someone else do that for him.
We're talking about Rethinking Vacation Bible School. Pastor Jason Broughton is our guest. How do we do it then, after the break?
Because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our adventure through the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, with the bride, measuring the city, no temple, river of life, and the time is near. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
All four gospel writers tell the story of Jesus' baptism in slightly different ways, in slightly unique ways. Does this mean, then, that there are contradictions in the accounts of Jesus' baptism? Certainly not. But if you've ever had this question or others related to it about other stories of the Bible, you should pick up a copy of the August issue of the Lutheran Witness, Breathed Out by God, where we talk about these seeming contradictions of Scripture. To get your copy, visit cph.org/witness or our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is, lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Memoria Press exists to promote and impart the classical heritage of the Christian West through an emphasis on the liberal arts and the great works of the Western tradition. The Memoria Press curriculum encourages the development of wisdom and virtue through the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR22. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about rethinking Vacation Bible School with Pastor Jason Broughton, pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Tuscola, Illinois, and author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Particular Needs of a Particular Place, Rethinking Vacation Bible School. So, Jason, how do we need to do that rethinking?
Well, I think primarily is to just stop for a minute and, you know, before we start thinking, oh no, it's Vacation Bible School season again. Just ask yourself a question to kind of reframe how you understand and view what Vacation Bible School is and can be. So if a parent of your congregation, imagine a parent that is very active, always brings his or her children to Sunday school and to divine service, and is active in reading the Bible at home, that if one of these parents came to you and said, hey, pastor, would you be willing to teach my kids about any topic from the Bible that you think is important this summer for just 1 week, would you do it? And I think every pastor in the Missouri Synod, and I think any pastor worth his salt would say, yeah, I'd do that. And that's essentially what the parents of our congregations are asking us to do, is to pick something from the Bible that is applicable to my kids, to nurturing them in the faith, to become disciples of Jesus Christ, to walk in his teaching, not just now, but for always, beyond the time that they will be in their parents' home. They want you to pick something that will help teach them the Bible. And if we begin to think of Vacation Bible School as a parent asking us to teach their kids the Bible, focused on our actual students, teaching our own from our own congregations, then I think it becomes something that we would focus on more and see more as part of the pastoral duty, instead of something like, you know, we just want to introduce someone who never comes to our church to the name of Jesus or something. We're actually teaching our own, and we're rearing them up in the faith to a greater understanding, because faith seeks understanding. So we're trying to inculcate that within the kids, and our parents are asking us to do this. So the first thing is that we would kind of reframe the understanding of what Vacation Bible School is, that we are teaching the faith to these kids. Secondly, it would be taking into consideration who these kids are and what do they need to learn. So that would be incorporating what is going on in the culture, what themes from the Old and New Testaments need to be understood, what is lacking in our own Sunday school curriculum. In other words, what don't we cover in our Sunday school curriculum, or what don't we have time to get to in catechism class? What are the things that they need to begin to wrestle with and learn that our Lord hands down to us that sometimes get overlooked? So that could be anything like, how do we choose good friends? This is a perennial thing that comes up with parents. They're concerned about their friends, and how do we inculcate and talk about that with our kids? And one way to do that would be perhaps studying of the kings of Judah, even the good kings of Judah, and where they go wrong and how things go well for them, understanding their baptism more, or covering people from the Old Testament that you don't get to during those times and learning from their life. I mean, St. Paul says that everything from the Old Testament has happened for their example, but it was written down for our instruction. And so there's something for us to learn there. And let's take a look and let's actually learn about it. Let's discuss the difficult things, the things that often kind of take us off guard if we haven't heard them before, you know, like the conquest of Canaan and so on and so forth. So I think that's something. I think also we need to ask more of our kids, not less of them. And so we should ask them to learn how to sing our rich, theologically rich hymns, and then even learn how to sing them in harmony. And everyone has someone in the congregation that has been blessed musically that could help you do this. We should also teach them real craftsmanship, you know, not just popsicle stick crafts or pipe cleaner crafts, but let's teach them how to work with wood, how to make stained glass windows, how to make a mosaic, how to make a Bible cover out of leather. All of these things, there are people in our midst that do this. They're able to quilt, they're able to sew. There's no reason why we couldn't find a craft that would focus on whatever topic that we're discussing that week, scale it for the older kids to the younger kids, and teach them how to use these skills that once were passed down from grandmothers to mothers to daughters, that now because of our schedules or whatever the case is not happening. This allows, you know, these older women to pass down to the younger women what they're to pass down, like St. Paul says in Titus chapter 2, or for the older men to teach the younger men how to work with their hands. I think we should begin to think about how are we training our kids, not only in the Word of God and theological truths, but even just the practical arts of how this can be used in service to our Creator and our Savior.
How do you respond to someone who says that going back to what is essentially the original approach to VBS is too much work?
It is a lot of work. But I suppose I would ask the question, can we afford not to? Would we say to our Lord, when he returns, it was too much work to invest this talent into a bank or to make more of it? Is it too much work to pass on the things that you would have us pass on? I think we really need to begin to take seriously the fact that, particularly as pastors, we are held to a higher account. And whatever we build that is out of straw or wheat or wood or gold or silver, this will all be tested by fire. And though we may not lose our salvation, we will see it burned with tears, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians. We need to really begin to try to view what we do as pastors as striving for excellence in all things. And I'm not sure that we can, at the end of the day, say it's too much work, I can't do it. I think at the end of the day, we need to say it is a lot of work and it is good work. It's fruitful labor. It's profitable not only to the students who will attend, but it will be profitable for all of the volunteers and even for you yourself to put your nose to that grindstone and see how you can apply the scriptures to those who are right in your midst. So I'm not sure that we have the ability to say it's too much work. There are too many things in our world that are working against us, and we need to remember our call to faithfulness as stewards and be happy for the work, because the work is good.
Pastor Jason Broughton is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Tuscola, Illinois. He's author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Particular Needs of a Particular Place, Rethinking Vacation Bible School. The Lutheran Witness interprets the world from a Lutheran perspective. You can receive an annual print and digital subscription for less than $20. Find out more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Jason, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss calls for another reformation in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Our guest will be Pastor Larry Peters and its media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. Then on Thursday, we'll get a review of the TV series Stranger Things from Pastor Ted Geese. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.